From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information in the latter half of the show. Let's get right on into action news right now. Call from Indiana. Bluebird Tree Sit needs your help. Bulldozers arrive today, and that really is today, to begin the eviction of the Bluebird Free State in Bloomington, Indiana. They tore out the first blockade, a pipe and bike rack barricade that was cemented into the asphalt road leading to the edge of the proposed site. Cops have been around the site for the last few days looking at how things are set up. It is believed that they will be moving into the site in the next few days to try and remove the more permanent fixtures like the tree sits. We need your help. Please come to Bloomington, Indiana to help defend this beautiful forest that has been reclaimed by the public from its legal owner, the developers Bill Brown and Herman Associates, to be protected forever. To get in contact and find out what is happening, call the Secret Sailor Bookstore in Bloomington, Indiana, 812-333-0173. That's 812-333-0173. You can also get to the site by taking State Route 37 south from Indianapolis, get off at the 2nd Street exit in Bloomington, Indiana, go left, make your first left on Basswood Drive. After you cross the expressway and go to the end of the road, and that's where the woods begin. This area needs your help to defend it from those who would like to put yuppie condos on it. Ew, yuppie condos. Anyway, more information, 812-333-0173. And, moving to the Buffalo Field campaign update for this week. It reads here, "It pains me to tell all of you who love the buffalo that the Montana Department of Livestock shot a bull bison dead in the field on Tuesday. Their excuses were public safety, fear of property damage, and livestock health, that is, fear of transmittal of brucellosis. Buffalo Field Campaign does offer a free fence repair service, and we will fix any property damaged by wildlife, especially by buffalo. Even theoretically, only female bison could transmit brucellosis to cattle. This disease is spread through infected fetuses or afterbirth. The Department of Livestock knows this. In their press release, the Department of Livestock claimed to have been successfully hazed 1,440 bison back into the park from the National Forest since the season began in September. This is a deliberate lie to let the public think how good they were this year. These agencies have fully realized that people are starting to keep an eye on them, that people care a whole lot about what they're doing out here in Montana. They need to try even harder than ever to make excuses. The Montana Department of Livestock did not try to move the bull back into the park that day. They went out and shot him because he had crossed our invisible human-made line after May 15th. Now is the time to write letters if this makes you angry. Some of you know that in the past 2 years, 90,000 people have signed our petition, which was virtually ignored. Personal letters, even if short, have a lot more impact. Let those who are in charge know how you feel about the slaughter of America's last free-roaming, consistently wild herd of buffalo. The back page of our newsletter has addresses of those officials most involved and responsible. I urge you to call or write personal letters to your senators and congressmen. Ask them where they stand on the issue of the Yellowstone bison herd. This is a national issue, and it is important to let these people know that their states care, too. On a brighter note, we are doing great with our outreach in Yellowstone. Yesterday, we broke our records. Over 400 people took our newsletter from us at Old Faithful, and we discussed the issue with 180 different people. It lifted our hearts a little after what had happened the day before. We give heartfelt thanks to you all for your letters and calls of support, your prayers for the buffalo, and all the things you do to help protect them. We will be tabling in the Teton Sioux and are in need of camp food. If you have Y2K supplies lurking around your basement or shelves and you're not sure how you'll ever eat all those dry goods, instant soups, and dehydrated fruit, these are things we can use, and it would be a tax deduction for you. Until the next update, thanks again from all of us here for the Buffalo Felixa. And the Buffalo Field Campaign can be reached at P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Once again, that's the Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. If you want to go up and help them leaflet, please do give them a call before you go. 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. And they'd like you to make a two-week commitment if you do want to go up and help them out. If you want to send them email, it's buffalo@wildrockies.org, buffalo@wildrockies.org, or you can visit them on the web, www.wildrockies.org/buffalo. Killing buffalo these days is not a great thing. In case you're worried about what happened to the buffalo was donated to a Native American Indian tribe who use it for food. So, anyway, let's move to the island of Cyprus, where townspeople riot at a British army base on Cyprus, and a salt lake there is threatened by construction. British soldiers and military police clashed with angry protesters who had stormed the Akrotiri base last night, setting fire to vehicles and destroying equipment. The protesters believe the erection of an antenna at the Akrotiri Salt Lake, which lies within the base, will have an adverse effect on local residents and migratory birds. Preliminary estimates indicate repairs to the damage would cost at least 100,000 Cypriot pounds, or about 100,000 American dollars, I guess. According to the British base, some 40 officers and 29 Cypriot nationals were reported to have been injured in the incident. The trouble was sparked by a demonstration against the construction of a new communication antenna in an environmentally sensitive area. On Monday, a Cypriot member of parliament, Marios Matsikas, and another environmental activist spent 7 hours on top of a pylon in the base to protest plans to build a network of antenna. He this afternoon told Parma in the capital, Nicosia, that he believed they were satanic antenna that would kill children. Yesterday's protest began when activists saw that work on the antenna was proceeding despite promises from base authorities that they would suspend construction and conduct an environmental impact assessment. Hundreds of Cypriot rioters stormed a police station and released Mr. Matsikas, who had been arrested earlier in the day. The 400 to 500 demonstrators torched several vehicles before going to the construction site for the antenna work, where they began setting fire to vehicles and destroying equipment. British troops and police fired tear gas and wielded clubs to disperse the rioters, but clashes continued until well after midnight local time. Mr. Matsakis, a forensic pathologist and legislator for the centrist Democratic Party, says the network would generate electromagnetic radiation that could cause cancer among local villagers and the residents of Limassol, a port city 7 miles east of the base. The radiation and the mesh of cables among the antenna would also harm the migratory birds that flock to the salt lake, Mr. Matsakis argues. Used by tens of thousands of birds every year, the lake is covered by the Ramsar Convention for the Protection of Sensitive Wetlands around the world. The Cypriot government says it is not opposed to the construction of the network, provided that an independent study shows it will not affect the environment. And here's an action alert. Here's an event you may want to attend as a protester or activist. The International Symposium on Ecological and Societal Aspects of Transgenic Forest Plantations. This event is industry-sponsored, and it's important to have as many people from as many conservation groups as possible there representing the other side of the story. Once the trees are released, they will contaminate surrounding forests and downstream ecosystems and upset the ecological balance of forest communities, and they can never be recalled. We are organizing a large protest to an upcoming conference on transgenic trees to take place in Stevenson, Washington, at the Skamania Lodge from July 22nd to the 27th. Skamania Lodge is about an hour from Portland in the Columbia Gorge. To connect to the website for the Genetic Engineered Tree Conference, go to www.gadget.org, that's GAAGET.org, and click on the events link. A small number of people have started to organize. Please join with us in voicing and organizing your opposition to the development of transgenic trees on July 21st and 22nd. Over the past few years, many companies and universities have field-tested genetically engineered trees, and they are planning to release them into the wild on a commercial scale soon. Genetically engineered trees not only carry new genes, that they are also unpredictable effects and dangers to the environment. Whether we are campaigning on genetic engineering, logging, environmental justice, wilderness, patents on life, loss of biodiversity, and indigenous culture or globalization, genetic engineering affects all of these issues. Trees are the oldest and largest organisms on the planet. Some of them have genomes 8 times larger than the human genome. We cannot and should not alter their genomes that have developed and adapted to the environment over millions of years. Already we have seen that experiments with genetic trees have gone wrong, creating serious negative impacts on the environment. Let us not wait until genetically engineered trees are grown commercially all over the world. We have to let the public, the industry, and universities know that we will not sit and watch until genetic pollution from transgenic trees covers our forests. To read more information about the dangers of genetically engineered trees, go to the website www.gadget.org. That's G-A-A-G-E-T. That's the Global Alliance Against Genetically Engineered Trees, Gadget. www.gadget.org. Or you can send them email, gadget@gadget.org. That's G-A-A-G-E-T. All right. And once again, that demonstration is going to take place on July 21st and 22nd in Stevenson, Washington. That's on the north side of the Columbia River, east of Portland. Okay. And coming up in Northern California is Active Fest 2001, Odyssey Beyond Babylon. This is the second annual Northern California Activist Festival of Consciousness and Creativity. People from Northern California and beyond will gather on Bastille Day weekend. That's July 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Boonville Fairgrounds in Anderson Valley near Mendocino, California. To share our collective concerns about the declining viability of life force upon this planet, the diversion of the democratic process, and the corporate web of death that entangles us. Join us in a jubilant weekend of stimulating exchanges of ideas from many activist perspectives, wholesome food and camping without charge, in an ambience of consciousness evolving thought, music, poetry, and art. We regret that absolutely no alcohol or dogs are permitted. If you want to learn more about this event, call Raphael at 707-961-6253. That's Raphael, 707-961-6253. Or send email to Rafa, R-A-F-A, at Sabre.net, S-A-B-E-R.net, Rafa at Sabre.net. Or you can go to their webpage. That's one of these low-class webpages here, www.sabre.net/Rafa, R-A-F-A. All right. Anyway, that sounds like a fun weekend. That's Bastille Day weekend, 13th, 14th, and 15th of July at the Boonville Fairgrounds in Anderson Valley, Mendocino, California, for the Active Fest 2001 Odyssey Beyond Babylon. And remember, no alcohol and no dogs. Coming up in the latter part of July is the Wild Women's Gathering. This is taking place down in Reserve, New Mexico, as far as I know. Sisters of all ages are invited to a week-long full moon gathering in New Mexico's enchanted Gila Mountains. Come join us July 29th through August 5th as we explore the depths of selfhood and sisterhood in a truly sacred place of power. Uncle Dennis has been there. It is a wonderful place. You can be part of a small group of focused teens and wizened crones, ecofeminists and Gaian priestesses, warrior women and fairy princesses, celebrating our connection to our own wild and beautiful beings, to each other, and to the inspirited earth. Activities will include meaningful rituals, mindful walks, awareness exercises, grieving and celebrating, sacred sexuality, wildcrafting, food as communion, medicine sweats, river splashing, and ecstatic riverside dancing. Participants will be encouraged to share their visions and dreams, hopes and fears, skills, and stories. The site is a gorgeous wildlife sanctuary on private land and an ancient place of worship requiring both sensitivity and affection. All year long, Jesse Wolf Harden, formerly known as Lone Wolf Circles, and I host seekers and students to counsel and quest, but this is one time of the year solely dedicated to the empowerment, fulfillment, and pleasure of us caring women. This is our chance to embrace sweet and wild Mother Nature, as well as our personal inner wildness. I realize that the word wild has gotten a bad reputation, mostly from people who think it means dangerous and undisciplined. Its real meaning is to be willed or willful. Wild beings mind their true needs, obey their animal instincts and extrasensory insights. Wildness is connecting through ritual and laughter, dance and play. We learn to experience life through heightened senses, through extreme vision, sound and smell, touch and taste. We're filled with awareness, gratitude, responsibility, celebration, magic, and love. For more information on the Wild Women's Gathering, please send a stamped Adelph, a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, Loba, at Earthen Spirituality Project, Box 516, Reserve, New Mexico, 87830. That's the Earthen Spirituality Project, Box 516, Reserve, New Mexico, 87830. Or if you want to send email, it's earthway@concentric.net, earthway@concentric.net. And that's for the Wild Women's Gathering, July 29th through August 5th in the Gila Wilderness of New Mexico. And let's move into some animal news here. Bureau of Land Management closes Surprise Canyon to off-road vehicles to protect rare species, wilderness values, and water quality. This is in the Panamint Range of California. The unique lush riparian habitats of the Surprise Canyon area of critical environmental concern in the Panamint Range of Inyo County, California, were protected by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. The protective measures to ban motor vehicle use in the canyon go into effect immediately and will remain in at least until the Bureau of Land Management completes its National Environmental Policy Act and California Desert Conservation Area Plan amendment processes. The vehicle closures may remain in place for good, as permanent protection of Surprise Canyon will be a top option considered by the Bureau of Land Management. Protecting Surprise Canyon guards the essence of biological diversity in the California desert, said Daniel Patterson, California Bureau of Desert Ecologist. Surprise Canyon is a crown jewel desert riparian area, and it will now be allowed to thrive and be sustainably enjoyed by people without the constant attack and pollution of off-roading. Surprise Canyon, adjacent to Death Valley National Park, is an important habitat and water source for wildlife in this ultra-arid part of California. It is known to harbor the rare endemic Panamint alligator lizard and is potential habitat for endangered riparian obligate birds such as the southwestern willow flycatcher and least Bell's vireo. The Bureau of Land Management has not protected the wonderful hourglass riparian areas of the Panamint Mountains, said Eldon Hughes, chair of the Sierra Club California-Nevada Desert Committee. It is finally happening, but it's a shame it has taken a lawsuit to do it. For years, the Bureau of Land Management had allowed unregulated extreme off-road vehicle use of Surprise Canyon. Off-road vehicles regularly winched up unique waterfalls, cut native vegetation, and spilled oil and gas into the water. The damage is so bad that the BLM states in today's notice, the canyon riparian zone currently does not meet the BLM's minimum standards for a properly functioning riparian system due to soil erosion and stream bed alterations caused by off-highway vehicle use. The trashing of Surprise Canyon by off-roaders forced this closure, said Jeff Ruch, Executive Director of the Washington, D.C.-based Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. BLM must take these actions to avoid a contempt of court citation. This conservation action arises from the Big Desert lawsuit settlement between the Center for Biological Diversity Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, and the Sierra Club. The Clinton and the Bush Interior Departments, as well as Off-Road Vehicle and Multiple Use Group interveners, earlier signed the stipulations to protect the Virginia-sized California Desert Conservation Area. We're pleased that the Bureau of Land Management is starting to catch up and implement the settlement after being motivated by the court nearly holding them in contempt for delays, said the plaintiff's attorney, Jay Touchton, of the Earth Justice Legal Defense Fund. The Bureau of Land Management's action to protect the canyon comes 3.5 months past the deadline. A settlement agreement signed by the plaintiffs and the BLM in January set a February 15th closure date for Surprise Canyon. The California Desert Conservation Act lawsuit was originally filed in March 16th in the Northern District of California and assigned to Judge William Alsup. The court will hear a continuance update on all remaining CDCA settlement actions on June 14th, which I guess has already passed. Anyway, moving on, forest fragmentation linked to stress in birds. New research offers a clue as to why Amazon forest birds are sensitive to habitat fragmentation. Even patches as big as 250 acres are missing many species. Birds in fragments have slower growing feathers, learned U.S. researchers. This suggests that they are more stressed, which could decrease survival and reproduction. There might be physiological consequences for birds that live in fragments, said Jeff Stratford of the Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama, who did this work with Philip Stauffer of Southeastern Louisiana University in Hammond, Louisiana. The work appears in the June issue of the journal Conservation Biology. This is the first evidence that fragmentation may have direct physiological effects. Stratford and Stauffer compared feathers from two common bird species, the white-crowned manakin and the wedge-billed woodcreeper, that were captured in either forest fragments or continuous forest near Manaus, Brazil. To determine how fast the feathers had grown, the researchers measured the daily growth bars. Healthier birds were assumed to have feathers with wider growth bars, meaning faster-growing feathers. The researchers found that feathers from birds captured in forest fragments had grown slower. For instance, feathers from birds in 2.5-acre fragments grew 10% slower than those from birds in continuous forest. Why do birds in fragments have slower-growing feathers? Stratford and Stauffer ruled out the possibility of insufficient food. The manakin's diet includes fruit, and the woodcreeper eats insects living on tree trunks and branches, and fragmentation does not reduce either type of food. Fragmentation may not affect feather growth directly. Rather, less robust birds may more likely end up in undesirable habitats like fragments. We suggest that these birds are social subordinates that are wandering about the landscape, said Stratford. Birds in fragmented habitats elsewhere may be even more stressed because the fragmentation in this study was mild. For instance, the forest fragments were separated by pasture and regenerating forest rather than by parking lots and houses. Even though things look bad, this is a best-case scenario, Stratford said. And Fort Irwin threatens desert wilderness and species. The U.S. Army would like to expand its 643,000-acre Mojave Desert tank training base at Fort Irwin by 131,000 acres. The proposed expansion would impact two desert wilderness study areas, the Avawatz Mountains and the South Avawatz Mountains, containing approximately 45,000 acres of potential desert wilderness, as well as seasonal desert bighorn sheep habitat, traditional Shemishwevi Native American collective sites, and a portion of the Old Spanish Immigrant Trail. The proposed Fort Irwin National Training Center expansion would also foul air quality and imperil two endangered species, the desert tortoise and the Lane Mountain milk vetch. The expansion would destroy 85% of known milk vetch plants, likely jeopardizing the continued existence of this unique California species, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The Army is likely to request legislation that would authorize expansion and circumvent the Endangered Species Act. Senator Dianne Feinstein may or may not support the Army in this endeavor. Previously, Senator Feinstein had stated she would not support the Fort Irwin expansion that would jeopardize species or that would not follow environmental laws. For more information, please contact Daniel Patterson of the Center for Biological Diversity. His number, 520-623-5252. That's 520-623-5252 and try extension 306. Okay. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has given the fairy shrimp half a loaf. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has designated 6,870 acres of five Southern California counties as critical habitat for the Riverside Fairy Shrimp, about half of what the federal agency proposed in September, says the L.A. Times. The Center for Biological Diversity, whose lawsuit led to the designation, called the action a disaster, a land giveaway to developers, and a one-way ticket back to court for the Fish and Wildlife Service. Well, I guess we're going to take a musical break here. And, we're going to check out a group called The Tinklers. And this song is called "The Trees Like to Rot in the Forest."
Well, I'm not a voice here in Freak, but as I was sitting here last week, listening to my rocking chair squeak, it seemed like it was trying to speak. It said trees like to rot in the from wood, and I think furniture's really good, but maybe as friends of the woods, we don't do exactly what we should, 'cause trees like to rot in the forest, so woodpeckers and
Radio. We'll be right back.